So since the first temple in Jerusalem, churches have been designated and designed to be places where people can experience the beauty and the majesty of God. And this was really, like literally true for the first temple in Jerusalem. This is what it may have looked like. Because in that time, God's presence was within that temple for the people of Israel. God's presence was in a very specific place in the temple called the Holy of Holies. And that would have been in the inner part of the temple. And the Ark of the Covenant was there, and God was there, and the place was so filled with God's power that only priests could go into that space in the Holy of Holies. And in fact, there's a story that it was so powerful that priests would sometimes go in with a rope tied to one ankle and a bell tied to the other in case the wrath of God should smite them down in that space. The bell would stop ringing, and then whoever's outside wouldn't have to risk going in. They could just pull the priest out with the rope, which is pretty extreme. But that is how sacred that space was. And then the space went, there were kind of like corresponding rings outside of that space. So if the next ring out from the Holy of Holies, anybody who was Israelite or Jewish could go into that space if you were a man. So that was the men's court, the court of Israel. And you could be in that space if you were of that faith and if you were a man. And you were close to the Holy of Holies, so that was a good place to be. And then the court outside of that was the women's court. So if you were an Israelite or Jewish woman, you could be in that court. And you couldn't be as close as the men could be, but you could still be close to the presence of God. And then beyond that was the Gentile court. So if you were of not an Israelite or not Jewish, you could go in the court of the Gentiles. And you couldn't get as close as everybody else could, but you were still there, kind of in the proximity of God. And then it went out beyond that even culturally, because it was thought best that if you lived in Bethlehem or in Jerusalem, you were closer to where God's presence was. And if you lived out in the far-flung regions of Israel, then you weren't as close to the presence of God. And so that was a very important place for the people of Israel. But even today, churches still are designed to inspire this sense of God's presence, this sense of God's awe and power and wonder. If you think of a lot of cathedrals, these came from medieval times when people couldn't read. They couldn't even understand usually the language of the liturgy. And so the cathedrals were designed to teach people about God through the windows and through the statues that were there. There were Bible stories everywhere in the cathedral, and it was this place of glorious beauty. And you could learn about that. But even now that we have the Bible in our own language and we speak our own language in the liturgy, we have these beautiful sanctuaries and churches that remind us of God's awesome power and presence on earth. And they remind us of the beauty and the majesty of God. Even our space here with a really tall ceiling and the space for the sun to come through, it's just a beautiful reminder of God's power and majesty. And so you can imagine how the people hearing Jesus talk about the destruction of the temple might have felt when he said that this temple is going to be destroyed. I mean, even more so for them than for us. The temple was God's presence on earth and the center not only of their faith, but also of their whole culture. And if people honestly believed Jesus when he spoke about this, that their temple was going to be destroyed, I can imagine that those people experienced some significant anger at what he said about that, and grief, and even disbelief about that destruction, that potential loss that would mean to them. And you know, the same can be true today to different extents and different levels, when we are faced with any sort of change in the church, and in particular in our own church. So this last picture here up on the wall is the church that I went to in my childhood. This was my mother's family's church. And so this was a place that was very dear to me, where I really experienced the majesty and the presence of God. It had a lot of family history because my grandparents met there, and it was rumored that my uncle used to make barn animal noises from the balcony there. And I actually got to I got to read my first lesson ever in front of the congregation there. On Christmas Eve, they would have one of the elementary students read from that big, tall pulpit. And that was a really big deal for me. I got to read a lesson from the pulpit at that church and sing with my cousin up in the balcony. And it had a massive pipe organ that would just fill the space with sound. And it had very tall ceilings. And it was a beautiful church. I really felt God's presence, and I learned so much about God in that space. And so when we moved, that was really hard to move away from that church, because I was moving away from the place where I had experienced God's power and God's love in that congregation. And that causes a certain amount of grief and sadness when that happens. And it's not just changing buildings, of course, that can cause anxiety or grief in a church, but any kind of change can, because anytime we experience change in something that helps share God's love with us, we can experience this anxiety and this grief. If you think about changes in liturgy, that sometimes is difficult. Changes in music or music styles. Changes in prayer. I know a lot of us really are fond of the Lord's Prayer in the older language version. And when we speak the new Lord's Prayer, it can be really difficult because it sounds like a different prayer. Even though technically it's still the same prayer, it sounds like a different prayer to us. We have traditions that we're rooted in that it's hard when they change. Holidays especially are ways that we encounter God's love and experience. When a pastor of a congregation changes, that can be a very difficult time, especially as we've experienced since Pastor Frank's retirement. I mean, it's hard to say goodbye to somebody who has been an inspiration for your faith for so long, somebody who you experienced God through that person. And that can cause a lot of anxiety within a congregation. Change in the church causes anxiety because this is where we have experienced the love and the truth of God, and it's natural to fear that if something changes, then our experience of God's love and truth will change as well. So if we look back at the text, you can imagine that this is what's going through the heads of the people as Jesus talks about this potential destruction of the temple. And where is the good news within that message? Because frankly, it just sounds terrifying. This utter cataclysm that's going to happen to the people. And yet Jesus even says, do not be terrified. How can he say, do not be terrified in the face of all of this destruction? Well, of course, we know the rest of the story, and we know the good news. The good news is that Jesus is about to die and be resurrected. And that when Jesus dies, Scripture tells us that the curtain in the Holy of Holies was torn in two, representing the fact that God is no longer present simply in the Holy of Holies, but God is now present in the whole world through Jesus. God no longer is restricted to a certain group of people or a certain gender. The presence of God is out among the people of the world. And you can see that in our text, too, that this is an opportunity, not a destruction, but an opportunity to bear witness to God and God's love. This change is an opportunity for the people of God to share the good news all over the world. And this was in particular good news to the people who received the letter of Luke. I think we tend to forget that these books of the Bible are letters. They're written to people. And they're written to particular communities. And this community that Luke was writing to was living after the time of the destruction of the temple. And so Jerusalem was actually laid to siege. The temple was destroyed. It was a terrible experience. Some of the people who received the letter of Luke may have been present or have known people who were present or would have heard witness firsthand of what had happened. And Jesus is promising in this text that he knows that this is going to happen, that this is part of God's plan. And the people then suffered terrible persecution under the Roman government. And what was happening, what Jesus said would happen, was happening to people, that they were being put to death or turned over by family members for being Christian. The letter of Luke was a testimony to these people that the good news of Jesus, about the good news of Jesus, that Jesus, through Jesus, we experience the love and truth of God no matter what our circumstances are. And this is truly good news to all of us, even in the midst of change and transition, that God is not simply contained in a certain liturgy or a certain style of music or certain prayers or versions of a prayer, that God isn't contained strictly in our traditions or our holidays or one particular pastor. God, of course, can be experienced through all of those things, and that is our prayer every Sunday morning, that God can be experienced through what we do here in worship. But God doesn't solely reside in any one of these things. God resides in Christ. And as we talked about with the kids, Christ is present with us whenever we gather, and he promises us that. And so because of that, we need not be terrified by change, as Jesus tells us in this text. Rather, we see it as an opportunity to continue to bear witness to the love of Christ in the world. I'm very thankful for that personally right now, because as many of you know, I sent a letter out last week about the fact that I've accepted a position at a new church. And so this is very sad at first to me, and yet at the same time a wonderful opportunity. But I've been grieving the loss of this community because of, I have experienced the love of God here in this congregation and with you and with your youth for the past 3 years, and that's been very important to me. But back in the spring, I was taking some time to discern where God was calling me and the youth ministry program as Pastor Frank was approaching retirement, and I knew this time of transition was coming. Plus, we were expecting our second child, and I remember thinking, you know, it feels right now like God's call for me and God's call for the youth and family program at St. Luke's are going in two different directions. And as much as I prayed to try to reconcile that, I couldn't. And so I talked that over with our bishop at the time, Bishop Schleicher, and he said, well, it sounds like you might be open to a new call after maternity leave. And I said, well, yeah, it was kind of a surprise, but I said, you know, that sounds right. You know, I didn't think there would be anything really available, but then lo and behold, 2 weeks later, Pastor Jay Shrimp from Bethlehem Lutheran Church in downtown Grand Rapids here approached me and said that they were looking for somebody quarter time to start up sometime around the new year. And he wondered if I was interested. And it was one of those things that I just knew had to be God's timing, that God prepared my heart for that, and that God was leading both me and the ministry here in different directions. And that I could trust that I could trust God's leading and Christ's presence in the midst of all of that. And that continues to be my hope and prayer for both myself and for the congregation, that though this is a time of transition all around, transition between past senior pastors and now the added this transition with the youth and family program, that Jesus continues to walk with this congregation, with the people here, and that it is within each one of you that Christ resides, and when we come together, we are the body of Christ together and the church. And so I thank God that Jesus promises that through him, we will all experience the love and the truth of God, no matter what the circumstances are in our lives, in the life of the church. And that is something that I say thanks be to God for. Amen.